Turn with me to Mark chapter 8. Verse 22, Mark 8, 22. We'll go to through verse 26. Mark 8, 22. Then he came to Bethsaida. They brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. Let's pray. Lord, we weren't there that day when this happened, but we are aware of it because your Spirit has chosen to show this to us, as it has been your will to show us a number of instances of healing of the blind in Scripture. For many were healed who were blind that are not mentioned specifically in the Scriptures. But Lord, we know it from what we see in other parts of the Gospels, where so many came of all different diseases and you healed them, including the blind. We praise you for your power and pray the lesson of it would not be lost to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you know who Tennessee Ernie Ford is. Some of you don't. I'm assuming the younger ones don't as much. And maybe, I don't know, I thought maybe he was a North Carolina phenomenon, but you know who, probably know who Tennessee Ernie Ford is. And when I was still a teenager, he came on TV with a commercial. And I still remember the commercial. He was talking about when you get older, that one of the number one things that you're interested in is good health. And me being a teenager, I said, well, yeah, when I get that way, when I get up to your age, Tennessee Ernie Ford, I might be concerned about that. Well, that day has come. And for all of us probably who would have seen that commercial and maybe not thought much about it, he's right. One of the things we value most is being in good health. It's a great blessing. I often think of my grandparents. My grandmother lived to be 100. Surely that means something good for me. My granddad on my mom's side lived to be 90. My grandfather, my dad's dad, lived into his 70s. He had emphysema. He smoked. So, you know, I think he probably died younger than he would have otherwise. I don't really think about my grandmother, who I never knew, who died when she was, I think, 40. We want the prospect of long life, healthy life, something that would make us not have the burden of sickness. That's why the health and wealth gospel is so popular. It's not biblical. But there are people that know what we want, and they give you what you want. They know people don't care that much about sin. They don't care that much about repentance. But what they want is good health and money. So Benny Hinn comes up and says, hey, listen, if you follow Jesus, you'll have a lot of wealth and you'll have no sickness. Benny Hinn, who has a heart condition, by the way. The health and wealth gospel is popular not because it's biblical, but because it is a desire that we have. And so that is what is preached. So our sight, our hearing, our taste, our touch, our smell, those are the five senses. Being able to walk and talk, think, learn, understand, have a perception of pain, things like that when we're in danger, to have a normal, active, working, physical body is a great, great desire. And to be able to see is probably one of the most craved of our senses. A lot of people would say if you were to lose one sense, if you have to lose one sense, nobody would say their sight. They might say touch or taste. All those are bad. We don't want to lose any of them. But not our sight. However, spiritual sight is not craved in the same way. People want to see physically. And it's really a marvel how blind people get along so well. I've seen some, it just seems like they go through life and they've adjusted and they get along. But every blind person would want their sight. And all who see would want to keep it. And there are no spiritual eye centers in town. There are some eye centers. My eye doctor is actually at the eye center for physical vision. The spiritual eye center is supposed to be the gospel and the church and people who promote the gospel of Christ. That's the spiritual eye center, but that's not a medical building. People just don't have the same desire to see spiritually. It's obvious when we are physically blind. But it is not obvious when we are spiritually blind. Physical sight is considered to be an absolute essential to function properly in our world, to live a normal life. Spiritual sight is not seen as absolutely essential. If you have impairment in your vision, you try to fix that zealously. Something can be done. You do it. I've had 7 laser surgeries. And as bad as it sounds to have a, I always think of Star Trek with a laser, they're phasers, but it's what it seems like. Somebody's going to shoot you with a laser, a phaser, 7 times. I mean, 7 different occasions. There's like hundreds of blasts from each one. John Wayne could not have done it, let me tell you. But you do it. Why? Because you want to keep your sight. You do everything you can. But if you're spiritually blind, people yawn at that. They're not curious about how do you get rid of it. Physical sight's a constant delight. Things you're able to see, the wonders now, we got spring springing forth and all the beauty of this world. And it's a constant delight, but spiritual sight, people, oh, that's such a burden. No one who's physically blind thinks they can see. They know they're blind. But billions who are spiritually blind think they can see perfectly well. If you go to these people and say, you know, you don't see anything, oh, I see just fine. Physical blindness is a malady. Causes sadness and difficulty. But spiritual blindness, people party over that. Those who are physically blind cry out to God for healing. Those who are spiritually blind don't, unless they're moved by God. It takes only nature for a blind person physically to say, I want to see. But spiritual blindness, people just don't really care. No one has to tell the physically blind they need to see. The spiritually blind are commanded to see. Acts chapter 17 is an interesting passage. It kind of gives you the difference. Physical sight is a natural thing. I want to see. But spiritual sight, we have to be commanded. Acts 17 verse 26. He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, so that, now listen to this, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. Groping. What do you grope for? You grope for things in the dark. Whenever the light's off and you don't have a light and you're trying to find things. My night vision is not what it was at one time. Those lasers I told you about took that down some. I still can see at night, but not like I did. But when you're feeling it out. If you're in a dark room and you're doing all this stuff and you touch something with fur that growls, you wish you had a light, don't you? We grope. The Bible says we are in blindness. And yet, look what Paul says. He says here that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him. They grope. That's a picture of someone who wants to see, who wants the Lord and can't find him, but they're going to grope for him and hope they find him. That's the desire, and that's the command we have. And we don't do that naturally. We lay back and just hope it all works out. There are billions of people right now who just hope it works out. When they get to the judgment, they hope it works out. But it's not going to unless they find the Lord. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Physically blind person, you would not tell them to go hiking on a dangerous cliff on a narrow path, and they wouldn't go. Yet those who have no spiritual sight are always walking in this world. And as Jonathan Edwards said in his famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, they walk on a path that is strewn with holes and pits, and they do not see. And they just, at one day, topple into perdition. The gospel of Jesus Christ is to awaken the blind to their danger before they fall through that hole and into destruction. Well, this miracle in Mark, it's the first mention in Mark of physical blindness. It's mentioned in the Gospels, especially in Matthew. It's mentioned in John. There's a lengthy section in John I want to cover, Lord willing, tonight. But Mark makes a reference to spiritual blindness in chapter 4 when Jesus spoke parables so that seeing they would not see. It was a judgment that they were not using their eyes in the way that made them believe. So spiritual blindness is called seeing without seeing. You see physically, but you don't see spiritually. You don't see the spiritual truth in what you're seeing. So when Jesus would heal, if you see that, that's seeing it. If you don't get it spiritually, you didn't see it. You're seeing, but you're not seeing. So Mark mentioned that in chapter 4, verse 12. And the Gospels cover both spiritual and physical blindness for the reason that I think we don't understand spiritual blindness. Sinners understand physical blindness. We understand physical maladies. We know that a physical problem is something we want to fix. So what the Bible does is take that which we know and takes us to what we don't know. So the Bible takes physical ills and then leads us to the spiritual counterpart. The physically deaf can't hear sounds around them. Can't hear the birds singing. Can't hear people talking. Can't hear sounds. But the spiritually deaf don't hear the words of God. They don't hear the truth of God. They don't hear the teaching of Christ. So he takes us from physical deafness, which we understand, to spiritual deafness, which we don't naturally. The paralyzed can't walk. They got to be carried around, moved by others. The spiritually paralyzed do not walk in God's ways. So he takes paralysis, being lame, and teaches how we are lame if we're not walking in the ways of God, and that we should seek to walk. The lost have no taste for God. They have, their sense of taste is gone for the Lord. They taste food. If you can't taste food, I've heard, you know, people just, if they don't have enough salt on something, it doesn't taste right, they put salt on it, make it taste better. But there's no taste for God, then there's no desire for God, and they don't want to know the Lord. Whereas the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. So the spiritually blind don't see God. They don't see his law. They don't see his judgment. They don't see his goodness. They don't see his mercy. They don't see his holiness. They don't see the solution to their problem. The blind don't realize they're lost, and they don't see, because they're blind, the solution to their problem that they have. You come across, time to time, a sign that says road closed. Ah, why is that road closed? Okay, well, it's closed. Would you be happier if they just took the sign up but left the road the way it was? Road closed. Oh, people don't want to see that. Just put that over on the side there. See, well, off you go, right down the road. Well, it's closed because there's an 80-foot gap between this side and the other side. Then when you land in that hole, you say, why didn't they put a sign up? Well, here's the sign. The gospel teaching that we're blind. And the gospel comes in and says, here are the truths. Here are the facts. You can't ignore them. You just can't. You got to deal with them. So the Bible uses physical to make a connection to the spiritual. And there are consequences. And again, the world doesn't see this. There are consequences to walking in blindness. You will fall into a ditch. That's the figure used, Matthew 15. The Pharisees were said to be, by our Lord, blind guides of the blind. The Pharisees, verse 14, Matthew 15, Jesus says, let them alone, they are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. If two blind people are at a bar, and one of the blind people is intoxicated, which blind person should drive home? The answer is, of course, neither one of them. If the blind lead the blind, they run off the road. So the Pharisees, Jesus said, were blind leaders of the blind. And when the blind lead the blind, they both fall into a ditch. And the ditch in this world is just maybe a ditch. But the ditch, as you relate it to eternity, is hell. And nobody says, you can't see. Well, that's not a big problem. You don't need to see. No, they say it would be nice if you could see. So when people like the Pharisees, you don't believe in Jesus? No problem. See, that's the problem. And the Pharisees were blind leaders of the blind, and so they both fall into the ditch. Well, verse 22 then, in Mark chapter 8. Here's the blind man. Verse 22 says, they came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. These are good friends. You know, people are sometimes upset with you if you're a friend of someone and you like to tell them about Jesus or the gospel, the Bible, suggest that they be involved in a gospel preaching church or read a portion of the gospels or read a book that talks about Jesus, and they're not happy with you. But really, the best friends are those who will bring you to Jesus. And they brought this man to Jesus, and he was physically blind. And notice that they wanted Jesus to touch him. And we know a lot in the Gospels about the power of Jesus to touch. It is not in the methods It's not in the means that he uses, but Jesus touches. Remember the woman with the issue of blood in Mark 5? She touched him, just the hem of his garment, and her issue of blood dried up. Jesus touched the leprous man, Matthew 8, and healed him, his touch. He touched the eyes of the blind in Matthew 9, verse 29. He touched Peter's mother-in-law, Matthew 8, verse 15, healed her of a fever. Mark 3, 10, we're told that people with afflictions were trying to touch Jesus. Just touch him. Remember in the early part of Acts, the people just wanted Peter to walk by and have his shadow fall on them and heal them. But the touch of Jesus, he didn't always touch, but his touch was power. Mark 6 tells us that all who touched the hem of his garment were healed. Just his garment again. Mark 10:13 tells us that they brought little children to Jesus that he might touch them. And the disciples said, no, we can't be bothered with little children. And Jesus said, let them come because of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he blessed them and touched them. Luke tells us of a whole multitude who sought to touch Jesus and that power went out from him and he healed them all, Luke 6:19. So they believed that if Jesus would touch them, this man would be healed. If Jesus would touch this man, he would be healed. That is faith. How many of you believe whenever you plug something in to the wall socket that you believe that whatever you plug in will now work? Do a little experiment at home. Take a hairdryer. Leave it unplugged. Turn it on. See if it comes on. Carry the plug in one hand, the hairdryer in the other hand. Why is it not getting dry? If you have hair thick like mine, you need a hairdryer to blow on it to dry it up. So, why is it working? Is it plugged in? Oh, okay. And then you know it's going to work because you plug it in. As long as it's connected to the power, and it works. Well, these friends, and I believe probably this blind man as well, believed that if Jesus would touch him, he would be healed. And they begged him to. It shows desire. It's a great thing to see that. When people want Jesus such that they are desperate for him. Not I can take him or leave him. You know, so many churchgoers can take Jesus or leave him. If he blesses them, they're fine with that. If he does it, well, they'll just do something else. It's not essential that they know him. They begged him. Begged him to touch him. And the man, too, filled with hope, probably. Here he is living in blindness. You know, we still can't heal blindness. You could do some things. There's some hopeful technologies taking place. Digital vision you can see, same with hearing. You still can't fix it. And for this man to have a hope here that was unheard of, we don't know what his problem was. Jesus didn't take any tests here. He did not hook him up to the machine. I've looked into it, the eye doctor. They take pictures of your eye and they do this and that, and he didn't do any tests. Let me see what I can do here. I don't know exactly what to do. He did none of that. The power of Jesus would heal him. Now notice, though, that it's interesting that Jesus did not heal this man immediately. Some in our day make the mistake, and these TV guys, and one of which I mentioned already, they make a connection between what Jesus uses or what Jesus says with the power of the miracle. And they think if they use the same procedures or the same implements that they can achieve the same results. So they'll send you a prayer cloth. touched the prayer cloth, sent it back to me with a $50 bill. And just see what God does. Believe, touch this, touch, let me touch you. You know, if Benny Hinn touches you, it will do you absolutely no good at all. Any of these guys who think they can heal, they've never healed one person. There's not one documented healing in the bunch of them. They exist in deceiving gullible people. And, I mean, Benny Hinn will push you down and say it's the power of God. If I push someone down, they call it a misdemeanor. But if you're at one of his crusades, it means the power of God. He pushes you right down, so slaps you down. It's just a bunch of fake. And so you can get all the cloths, you can get all the words, you can get the garments, you can get whatever. It will not do anything. If you use a similar object, because the healing comes from Jesus, not from the methods or the implements that he uses. The power is in Jesus. He doesn't use the same method every time. That's for purposes of his own. In this case, verse 23, he leads the man out of town. Now that's for one of two reasons, I would say most obvious, is to get away from the crowd, or because Bethsaida, which the Lord spoke against as being under special judgment because of the fact that they had not believed, we're not going to be given any more light there. But he leads them out of town. Verse 23 says he used a means. He spit on his eyes. Now, frankly, that is not the method I would have used. Jesus spit on his eyes. And, of course, the blind man realizes that something is going on. And so Jesus spits on his eyes and then puts his hands on him. And we know from the text, verse 25, when it says he put his hands on his eyes again, that Jesus put his hands on his eyes here in verse 23. And he asked him if he saw anything. This is the only place you see this. So the man looks and sees what? What he describes in his vision is that he sees men that look like walking trees. Means it's blurry. He sees movement. I don't know why Jesus progressively healed this guy. We know that Jesus like that can heal. It's not he was tired. Nothing to do with his inability. It has to do with his method. He touched him, spit on his eyes, and it was like a little bit. Then, we're told, he touched the man's eyes again. Verse 25. And made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Two stages. I bet nobody here is foolish enough, if you encounter a blind person, to spit on their eyes because Jesus did it. I'm not saying there aren't people who are foolish enough to do that, but there's nobody here would. And it seems the healing wasn't taking effect. And he said, let me touch you again. And then it was all clear. That's just the method. The touch of Jesus is the power of the healing. And he healed this man. And he saw clearly. And then verse 26 is the aftermath. He sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. That last part's not in the Greek, but it's similarly the same thing. Don't go back to town. That's what the Greek says. Don't go back to town. And as I said, Matthew 11, I mentioned it. Let me show you. Matthew 11, verse 21. Jesus pronounced a woe upon certain cities. Verse 21, Matthew 11, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Now notice the connection there in that passage between mighty works and repentance. Mighty works lead to repentance. So he says, you know, if Tyre and Sidon, Gentile cities, if they had had the privileges that you, Bethsaida, and Chorazin have, they would have repented in dust and ashes, sackcloth and ashes. They would have thrown themselves to it and said, oh, what a powerful demonstration of divine healing. I've got to repent and be right with God. And they did not. He says, woe unto them. They should have believed. That was a connection. That was what the purpose was. The purpose wasn't just to heal. The mighty works led to repentance. Or it was a woe upon you. If the things you know about Jesus do not lead you to repentance, even in our day, woe upon you. The natural result, supernaturally induced upon us, should be repentance. And when Jesus noted they didn't repent, said it's going to be more tolerable in the day of judgment than Tyre and Sidon for you than for you, because you have had more light and you did not repent. And our nation has had more light and has not repented. There should be belief. The man born blind in John 9, which I hope to look at tonight, became a believer and a strong advocate for Jesus, the person of Christ. And that's why Jesus came. Luke 4:18 says he's come to open the eyes of the blind. And the end of that was to bring faith and repentance. But remember, spiritual blindness is the darkest of blindnesses. A person who can't see physically is blind, but the deepest, darkest blindness is spiritual. People can dance on the brink of eternity and not even know they're blind. Pharisees argued in John 9 against the obvious miracle of Jesus. Oh, he couldn't have, it's not of God, he did it on the Sabbath. Did it on the wrong day. You know, obviously if somebody heals on the Sabbath, that's not of God. And they're arguing with him. We'll see, Lord willing, tonight. And the Pharisees looked down upon everyone who thought Jesus had healed by the power of God. That's how blind they were. There's an old story written a long time ago. You've probably got it when you were a kid. The Emperor's New Clothes. The Emperor's New Clothes is about a very vain emperor who dressed in the nicest things. Two swindlers came into the kingdom one day and said, you know, King, we can make the best clothes in all the world. And he was interested. But they said, the only problem is this. You can't see what we make unless you're really wise and your position is the position you should be in. If you're in a position that you are not worthy of, you can't see our clothes. He said, you got to make this. He gave them money. So they got a couple of looms and started weaving an invisible robe, clothes for the king, because there was nothing there. So the king sent out people to look, sent out an old minister to look, to see how it looked. And remember, if you can't see it, it means you are not wise and you're not cool and you're not able to, you're not fit for your position in life. So the old minister goes out and says, oh, yeah, I see. That's a pretty. Oh, it's pretty. And went back to the king and said, that's pretty. Everybody he sent out there came back and said, oh, yeah, beautiful. And the thieves kept asking, the swindlers kept asking for more money for more thread and cloth. And they gave it to him. And so then they came and dressed the emperor in his clothes that were so beautiful. And everybody standing around, oh, that's just lovely. That's lovely. That's so beautiful. Because nobody saw anything, but they didn't want to say that because then they would have been pointed out as being unfit for their position. And the king didn't see it either, but he didn't say anything either. Look how pretty it is. Walk through the city without clothes. But he saw them, and his ministers, oh, beautiful, beautiful. And one child said, but I don't see any clothes on him. You see, what's happened in our world is that we've been told we can see. Oh, you can see clearly. Look. And we have no clothes. And unless we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ, we live in shame. But the devil would say to us, you know, you can see. But Jesus said, if you say you can see, you're blind. But if you were blind, then you could see. Because Jesus heals the blind, physically and spiritually. Let's pray. Lord, we would see and be wise and knowing in our sight that you've given. Thank you for it, for the sense of sight and for spiritual vision to know Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.